We're going to speak for a short while today about why the Church of Christ sings only in a cappella without the use of mechanical music. I studied this. I've looked at several sites. I looked at several outlines. I read several different people's thoughts about this. And I finally decided to use this outline that I found on the website of the High School Road Church of Christ in Indianapolis, Indiana. Most of the things that I will tell you about today came from this website and the information that they had put together about this subject, because I thought it was most concise and I thought it was the most interesting and I thought it was most educational. There is a lot of historical things that I'm going to mention here tonight or this afternoon, but I think that it pretty well describes why we in the Church of Christ do not have musical instruments in our service. We must start, when we begin to study this subject or any biblical study, with the recognition that God has all authority and He is the one that determines how we worship Him and in the way that we worship Him, because it is not up to man to determine worship. And He has communicated to us through the New Testament how He wants us to worship. We know that when we look at worship, the Bible tells us there's four kinds of worship. There's vain worship, there's ignorant worship, there's selfish worship, and there is true worship. And of course, we strive to worship in a way that is true unto God. And our doctrine, the Bible tells us, is complete and is perfect. Paul tells us this in Galatians 1. And then in the writings to Timothy, he also told us that everything we've got is complete and that there's nothing that they have left out. So when we determine these scriptural things and these doctrinal things, we need to realize what God has revealed to us in His New Testament Scripture, how He wants to be worshipped, and then we are the ones that make the decision how we worship Him. But to worship Him in vain or in a false way is, of course, counterproductive. This is probably one of the major issues between the Churches of Christ and other so-called Christian religions in our world today, is the fact that Churches of Christ, most Churches of Christ, still do not use instrumental or mechanical music in worship. A lot of people in the world are not aware of this. I think there's probably some in our Churches of Christ that probably don't understand why we do not use it, but they accept the fact that there is an absence of instrumental music in the worships. So maybe it's time we preach a little more about what we believe and what the Bible teaches and our doctrine about worship and why, because there is a case to be made, and it's a very good case of why we do not use instrumental music. And that's because it's not God, what God expected us to do. Let's go to our word, God in prayer, and then we'll get into the subject. So the question we want to answer today is why the Church of Christ does not use instrumental music in its worship service. And that's what I hope to explain, and I believe we can explain it biblically. And I believe that there are all sorts of cases that we can get from New Testament Scriptures to believe in this doctrine and follow after it. First and foremost, as we begin this, instrumental music is not authorized by the New Testament. It is always our aim to teach where the Bible speaks. In fact, 1 Peter 4:11, Peter said, if any man speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And the theory that we use in the Church of Christ, people will speak where the Bible speaks, and then we'll be silent where the Bible is silent. And when we read the New Testament, through the New Testament all the way through, we find that early Christians were taught to sing in an a cappella, to sing with voices, and they were told not to use musical instruments. They were told not to use musical instruments by the fact that musical instruments are not mentioned as part of the worship service, but in fact were told to sing in a vocal way. It is my thought and my belief that if musical instruments were important to the salvation of the churches, we would have been told to use instrumental music in our worship, because it is completely avoided. The Scriptures are silent about it, and so much is said about singing with spirit and truth. Instrumental music, in my opinion, are absolutely forbidden in the New Testament Scriptures according to the apostles that wrote the rules. Music is mentioned, or instrumental music is mentioned in the New Testament, or music at all, total music, is mentioned in the New Testament in a very limited number of places. We're going to talk about 8 New Testament references where music in the church worship is mentioned, and in every case it is singing a cappella without the use of instrumental music is the only type of music that is specified. I want to give you some references here. I want to give you 8 verses, and then I'll give you a 9th verse that kind of combats it. Matthew 26 and 30, it said, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. In Acts 10 and 25, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners heard them. In Romans 15 and 9, we find a quotation in this verse, which is the expression, sing to thy name, or sing to God, sing to Jesus, sing to deity. In 1 Corinthians 14 and 15, Paul said, I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding. One translation says, mine also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with understanding. In Ephesians 5 and 19, it says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, seeking, singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hebrews 2 and 12, in the midst of the congregation, I will sing thy praise. James 5 and 13, ask the question, if anyone is suffering, let him pray. If anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. Now these are the passages in the New Testament that refer to using singing in the worship service, and there is not one of these that alludes to or specifies or even suggests that we are to sing with any type of a musical accompaniment, be it a full band, as some churches do, be it an organ, be it a piano, be it a trumpet, or anything else. Nothing is said in these verses except sing with the heart and with understanding. I really like this one, Acts 10 and 25, that when Paul and prison were prisoners, they were not singing where the other prisoners heard them while strumming a guitar or playing a piano or an organ. They were singing with heart and understanding. And these passages are the passages of the New Testament that teach us about the authority of music in the worship service. Now, Revelation 14, 2 and 3, when John in his vision, he mentions a musical instrument, harps and harpers, but he used this in a way that was symbolic. He did not use it in teaching. Now the Gospels and all through Hebrews and these Peter and all of these verses, chapters, they were used to teach the different churches about worship and what the apostles expected people to do and not to do. But Revelation is not a teaching lesson as far as giving specific methods or ways of. But Revelation is merely a revelation, a vision that John saw of the things that were to be. And in Revelation 4, 2 and 4, John heard speaking from heaven that is said to be like the sound of harpists playing upon their harps. People use this verse and they use it as the ammunition that it's, we need to have music, we need to have harpists, or we need to have a piano or an organ or a trumpet or a band or an orchestra in our churches, because John in his vision heard something that sounded like harpists playing on their harps. These are visions of John. They were not taught as instruments and instructions for church worship, but they were shown as something that John was able to visualize, and in his way, he was able to put this down. So, I believe that the words that we read in the New Testament that deal with music and worship, they're all using the specific word sing rather than the general term music. Therefore, when we determine the importance of singing and how we are to sing, I think it's important that we look at only the definition which word sing will allow, and not look at a general term such as music. In Corinthians 4 and 6, Paul warned us we don't want to do more than the scripture allowed. We must learn not to go beyond the things that are written. And in Revelations, it ends it up with saying you don't add to and you don't take from. So we use the scriptures, we speak where the Bible is speaking, and we are silent where the Bible is silent. Now, the only way that we know what to do and how to do it is by the revelation of the Bible. Now, we know in Old Testament there were so many things we discovered in the Psalms, all of the many different prophecies, but yet we don't know their prophecies until we get to the New Testament, and the apostles break these down and say these were messianic prophecies. We learn by the revelation of the words, and that's what we depend upon the apostles for. And without this knowledge, then we don't have the revelation of God, and we do not know what to do. We're limited in our acts of worship to what we can read in the Scriptures and what the Scriptures authorize. And we're not to maximize these things, we're not to add to them, and we're certainly not to minimize them. And the truth of the deal is that musical instruments in church worship in the first church by the apostles was not authorized, only to be able to sing with the understanding and the heart. Number two, instrumental music was not used in the first New Testament church. It was the church that was established, the first church that the apostles established and that the apostles went through the world establishing. Mechanical instruments were not used. They were not taught. And people understand this, and people realize this, and people know that the first church sang just in an a cappella way. They did not use such instruments of music because this is not what the apostles taught. And people believe it. Bible scholars, historians of all faiths, all denominations, realize that the absence of instrumental music was because that's the way it was taught in the New Testament. Because the New Testament church, the original, did not use mechanical music in their services. I want to read to you some history on this, some so-called experts to give you their words. Dr. Kurt Sachs of Columbia University, who is an eminent musicologist in America, says his statement was, all ancient Christian music was vocal. Because there were no mechanical instruments in the first church that was established by the apostles. A man by the name of Frederick Ritter wrote a book, History of Music, from the Christian era to the present time. He said, we have no real knowledge of the music which formed a part of the religious devotion of the first Christian's congregation. We do know, however, that it was purely vocal. No musical instruments. The Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge by J.M. Brown. The instrumental music was not practiced by primitive Christians. It is evidenced from church history. The new Schraff Herzog Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge says that the organ was rejected in early Christian circles. We then get to those that comment on the Bible, commentators McClintock and Strong. And they say that the Greek word solo, P-S-A-L-L-O, the Greek word psalo was applied to the Greeks of modern times, and it referred exclusively to sacred music, which the church used, and it said it has never been other than vocal. Instrumental music was unknown in that church as it was unknown in the primitive or the first church. And then we could go to the early Christian writers such as Justin Martyr, Chrysostom, Tertullian, and every one of these early Christian writings said it was a practice of the first church simply to sing. There were no instrumental music. The instrumental music was not used in the worship of the first and the early church. These churches were guided by the teachings of the apostles. They did not use mechanical instruments of music, but rather they sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. So if it was not authorized by Scripture, and it was not used or authorized in the first churches that were established by the apostles, and it was never permitted, then where did musical instruments come from? Where did it start? Who started it? Who brought this innovation into the church? And that's the third point we want to consider. Instrumental music originated in the apostate or the Catholic Church. That's where it started. The instrumental music was not authorized by the New Testament. It was not permitted in the early church. So it had to start somewhere after the first church was started. And it happened when the Catholics, the apostates, began to bring things into the religious world that were never meant to be in the church. In the second and the third century, after the church was established, the purity of the church was tarnished, and the purity of the church deteriorated because there was a departure from the New Testament pattern. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 and 2, Paul writes, "The Spirit explicitly says that in latter times, people will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits, to doctrines of demons, and by the hypocrisy of lies, their consciences will be seared." Go to the first chapter of Galatians, and Paul said, "I am amazed that you have so soon turned away from the purity of the gospel which we have taught you, and have gone into something that he calls into apostasy." They abandoned the simple worship of the church as it was authorized, and the apostate church began to develop a far more elaborate and a far more complex ceremony in its place that focused more upon men than it focused upon God and the words of the apostles. According to the American Encyclopedia, Pope Vitalian is said to have first introduced organs into the church's Western Europe, about 670 A.D. Now this is some six, almost seven centuries after the church was created, when a pope decided that he wanted an instrument and he introduced it into the churches of Western Europe. A musical instrument, probably an organ, was sent as a present by the Greek Emperor Constantine to a man by the name of Pepin, who was the king of the Franks. This happened in about AD 755. So six, seven centuries after, then we begin to see these musical instruments creep into the Church of Christ. And it still wasn't accepted. And people still wasn't happy with it. Thomas Aquinas, a Catholic scholar, wrote against the use of instrumental music in the 13th century and said that at this time the use of instrumental music was still not widespread. So even members of the Catholic Church, the apostates, in the 13th century were already saying, this is not right, we don't need it, we don't want it, and they were going against things that the apostate church had already started. But the real opposition to musical instruments in the church started when the Reformation began in Europe, when several men, and men that we still quote today, when several men decided that the Catholic Church had got completely away from the teachings of the original church, and they realized there was a lot of stuff here in this Catholic Church that was not correct. And so they began to reform the Christian church, and the Protestant churches then grew out of the Catholic churches that had been established. Congregations that were guided by the Reformation made three changes, generally, in the arrangements of the house of worship. Three things that the Catholics did in their churches was the focus of the Reformation. First of all, the altars of the Catholic Church were changed to communion tables in the Protestant churches. The statues that were all part of Catholicism and in their churches were taken down and removed in Protestant churches, and the organs were taken out. They removed the mechanical music. The leaders of the Reformation had very, very few things in common, but one thing that they were united in was their opposition to instrumental music in the church, and they spoke against it. Martin Luther called the organ an ensign of Baal. Now, you don't get much stronger language than that. And this was Martin Luther. He was one of the reformers that people still quote and follow after today. John Calvin, we talk about John Calvin, and we disagree with most of the things he said. But he said that musical instruments in the church were no more suitable than the burning of incense, the lighting of lamps, and the restoration of other shadows of the law. John Calvin was totally and completely against mechanical instruments to be used in the worship of the church. John Wesley, Methodist Church, who attempted reformation of the Church of England in the 1700s by establishing the fact that the Methodist Church at his time of life was adamantly opposed to instrumental music in the worship. Charles Spurgeon was a Baptist, and he spoke to the congregation in Lubbock, the Metropolitan Tabernacle, where he often spoke to crowds that were up to 10,000 people each week, and he commented, "I would as soon pray to God with machinery as sing to God with machinery." All of these reformers, all they had totally different ideas about the Reformation and the things that they wanted to change to go from Catholicism to Protestantism. They all began with the rejection of instrumental music in the worship. All of these reformers agreed, returning to the simplicity of the New Testament church, beginning with the removal of any and all instrumental musics or instrumental forms of music. Number four, instrumental music, reformers said, was an element of divisiveness in the church. 1 Corinthians 1 and 10 talks about the need to get along and be unified. Paul said, "I exhort you, brethren, by the name of Jesus, that you agree, that there may be no divisions among you, but you may be in the same mind and in the same judgment." To be in the same mind with their unity in the church as according to Christ Jesus. And they said that throughout history, whenever instrumental musics were brought into the worship of the church, they were disruptive, and that the unity of the church was destroyed, because some wanted it and some didn't want it, and some says it's good and most said it is bad, it is not good, and they rejected it and they divided congregations and destroyed the unity that Paul taught they were to have. The final one that I will quote is a Methodist scholar by the name of Adam Clark, and I love the way he writes this. It's very easy to see. He said, "I am an old man and I am an old minister, and I hereby declare that I never knew a musical instrument to be productive of any good in the worship of God, and have reason to believe that they were productive of much evil." Then he goes on to say, and I 100% agree with this statement, he said, "Music as a science I esteem and admire, but as instruments in the house of God I abominate and abhor." And I think he hit the nail right on the head. They're not good. They never did any good. Everything they did, he said, was evil because it was disruptive and it was against the will of God. Music as a science, I love music of most genres. I like most all music, country and western. But I like music. I love music. I can lose myself in music. I admire it and I appreciate it and I love listening to it. But it's not, it has no purpose in the house of the Lord. In conclusion, this study has been to determine why the churches of Christ do not use instruments of music in worship. And I believe that we can prove by the writings and the teachings of the New Testament that instrumental music was not ever sanctioned in the New Testament scriptures in the words that the apostles wrote. It was never authorized. It was never thought about. It was never inferred. It was never even considered. It was not authorized by the New Testament apostles. Instrumental music was never used in the early church. In fact, it was not until the mid-600s, that it was finally introduced into the churches in Western Europe by a Catholic priest. But up until that point, it was never used in the churches. It was never used in the early church. Instrumental music originated in the apostate church or the Catholic church. They are the ones that invented this. They're the ones that put it in the congregations. They were the ones that started instrumental music. It was not started by the apostles. And instrumental music is a source of strife and disunity. It has been since its creation because it is not something that is authorized by God. It is of man. So, our plea is to return to the Bible, to worship as God and the apostles commanded, and Christians ought to speak as the oracle of God. Speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Instrumental music has no place in a church worship. Let's have a song of meditation. Anyone needs some help, come forward as we sing.